In your Bible, please, Revelation chapter 3. And this morning, we continue as we look at the letter to the church at Philadelphia. This letter comes from the sovereign, soon coming Messiah. We've already seen that this is a letter that concerns opportunity. These are the words of Him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What He opens, no one can shut. What He shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. A letter that concerns opportunity and obedience. They obeyed the word of God, and they did not deny the blessed name of the Lord. I will make those who are the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial. Keep you out from never going through that is coming upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. A letter about obedience. They kept the word. They did not deny the Lord. And because of their obedience, there is this promised deliverance from the time of wrath, as we looked last week in particular about this, which we often refer to as the pre-tribulation rapture, prior to the time of great trouble to be poured out on the earth in those last 7 years before our Lord comes to the earth to establish His kingdom, the rapture of the church. This morning, I am coming soon. I am coming soon. Back to chapter 1, the same word is used there, and I shared with you when we began this study that this word in the original language speaks about swiftness, quick. Soon, in the sense of quickness and swiftness. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His servants what must soon take place, He made it known by sending His angel to His servant John. What God is bringing to a climax, He will bring to a climax swiftly. When things are absolutely in accordance with His time frame, they will move quickly to a climax. Look at Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. And I'm reading verse 7. Behold, I am coming soon. I am coming swiftly. I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. Verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. There is this soon coming of the Sovereign One. It will be quickly. swiftly. Come on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Very familiar passage of Scripture. It speaks of the resurrection of the dead. I'm reading from verse 50. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. And in the translation I'm reading, in a flash, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Interesting, that word there that in the New International is flash, in whatever translation you have before you, is the word optimos. We get our word atom, the smallest of elements in the universe. The word actually means to be indivisible. Now we know that the atom has been split, and the energy within that atom we have experienced, especially since the days of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But in the universe, in the language that God has given, the smallest of elements, that which is indivisible, is the atom. And in this such small, indivisible time frame, in a moment, even quicker than we can say the moment because it is so small. I remember teaching Bible Institute in Pennsylvania. Actually, it was in the church that Dick Ferris's dad, Pastor Ferris, pastored years ago. And I had a student in the class, Mr. Di Mattei, the little Italian gentleman, and he spoke very little English. Interesting, in his testimony, he shared how he came to know Christ. He had been a Roman Catholic all of his life, and he remembered vividly being in the Catholic service when the priest read from the gospel narrative of the Lord coming in and cleansing the temple, throwing over the tables of the money changers and chasing them out, reminding those there that this was a place of prayer, not a place of profit. And at the end of that service, he said he got up and walked toward the back of the church, and there were tables with baskets of cheer, and they were selling chances and all kinds of things in order for you to profit. And he said it was like a truck hit him. What am I doing here? And from there, the Spirit of God convicted his heart of his need to simply trust the Lord Jesus Christ as far as his finished work plus absolutely nothing. Well, I was trying to explain that the return of the Lord is at any time. It's imminent. It's going to happen, and when it happens, it's going to happen quickly. And as I was saying that, I could tell that he was having a little difficulty understanding what I was saying. And so I reached deep into my Italian vocabulary. Now that was not easy, because all the Italian that I learned in my days early in growing up in my home was not biblical terminology. But I remembered as best I could, un momento. At any moment, and he grasped that, he saw un momento. Our Lord's appearing is a flash, twinkling of an eye. 2 Peter, familiar verses, we've looked at them often already, but we will look again at the 3rd chapter. Verse 3, first of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is the coming he promised? Even since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of water and with water. By water also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, unexpected, unannounced. The heavens will disappear, everything in it will be laid bare. Now our Lord, while he was here, and as is recorded for us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, spoke very clearly about the last days. And apparently one of the things our Lord said is that which is most either overlooked or simply ignored by people who talk about the last days, and especially the Lord's coming. And I know how popular it is, and I know how prevalent it is, and especially it seems, in order to get a hearing, you have to go out on limbs, and so often when one does that, they cut the limb off behind themselves. But people like to set dates, or at least they're going to put things in such a framework that will allow or think that people can identify with exactly what's happening now as exactly what must happen just prior to the Lord's return, and thus predict that the Lord is going to come at a certain time. Jesus himself said, as concerning that day, the day of the Lord, it's in the Father's hand. The angels don't know when that time is. And the Son himself, Jesus, now in his humanity, in submission to the will of the Father, was not aware of when that last trump would sound, when the call would go forth, when the voice of the archangel would shout. God has kept that time in his own trust. But what he has revealed to us is that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the voice of the archangel, when the call comes, we're gone. Nothing to look forward to indicate when it's going to happen. When he calls, we're going. And that could happen at any moment. That's why Peter goes on and says, in the light of what's going to take place, how should we live? We should live unto the Lord. Because the end, the climax, can take place at any moment. And it will happen swiftly, so quick, we're gone. Now back to Revelation chapter 3. The great comfort in all of that is that this letter is not only about opportunity and obedience, it's about ownership. We're His. And when He calls His chosen, when He calls His own, we're gone. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one can take your crown. Now, there are certain references in the scriptures to crowns, and it would seem that they all speak about reward and honor. Going over just to the fourth chapter, and I'm reading from, I'll start at verse 1. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me, like a trumpet, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit. And there before me was a throne in heaven, with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembled an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones. And seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits, or the sevenfold Spirit of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Also before the throne was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures. And they covered their eyes in front and in back. The first living creature, like a lion, fearsome. The second, like an ox, powerful. The third had a face like a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle, swift. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And we have looked at these verses. We'll look at them again. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being." A picture of worship. The church worshiping in heaven. And the worship is that the honor, that the place of respect and honor by symbol of crown is taken and placed at the feet of the one who deserves all honor, who deserves all respect. And so what John is telling us here as this letter is being written to the church at Philadelphia is the crown of reward, the crown of honor, the special place that you have, and that which you have been entrusted to do will be that which you will have privilege to lay at His feet. Hold on to that. Let no one take that from you. You see, we know that we have been given the crown of life, which is ours, and no one can take us out of the hands of the Lord. But He has left us here as a testimony and a witness to His honor and glory, so that our lives ought to give honor and glory to Him, so that what we say, what we do, redounds to His praise. Well, the day's coming when we will be with Him. And the Scriptures indicate that those crowns, those things that we did that are to His eternal honor and glory, will lay at His feet. Don't let anyone rob you from that. Don't get caught up in this world in such a way as to lose out on the rewards, on the honor that you can give to Him throughout eternity. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one can take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from God. And I will also write on him my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This letter is about opportunity. It's about obedience. It's about ownership. Come with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. The New Jerusalem. The place prepared for the people of God. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. This holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, is beautifully, perfectly prepared to be inhabited in the presence of God. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them and be their God. A perfectly prepared place where God Himself personally will preside with us, His people. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death and mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away." Everything now perfect. All that we have experienced in this life under the curse is gone. There is now that which is perfect. A place in His presence for His people. No pain. No curse. It's perfect. He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who was thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the springs of the water of life. what God has prepared perfectly for His people, He has provided free of charge. It's all of grace. It's for us to partake of. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly and the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. This perfectly prepared place in the presence of God is for victors, not the vile. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. We have elsewhere in the scriptures, of course, the church spoken of as the bride of Christ. But here, the reference is not to the church, but to the city, the New Jerusalem, the place that we will inhabit in His presence that is perfect. He carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down from heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was that of every precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations on them where the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Israel. The church. The old covenanted people. The new covenanted people have a perfect place to inhabit. To be in His presence. Israel. The church. All of the chosen have a place coming down from heaven, the New Jerusalem, to experience His presence. The angel will talk to me. Had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and its wall. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 1,400 miles square. And the length, the width, the height, he measured its walls and they were 200 feet thick by man's measurements, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. This beautifully, perfectly prepared, personal residence of God and His chosen is a place of purity. Pure city for the pure. For the foundation of the city's walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, second sapphire, the third chalcedonian, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. It's a pure place. And it is only for those, as we will see, who are perfectly prepared to experience purity. I did not see in the city a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are in the temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. John writes in his first epistle, God is light, and there is no darkness in Him. All of us are at that age where our vision is somewhat less than we would hope it to be. It's impaired because of the curse. But in this perfectly pure place that God has prepared, and He will personally be there, we see perfectly. Paul speaks about right now we see through a glass darkly. As good as our vision is in this life, even with faith, we don't see perfectly. But when we are in His presence, we will have a perspective. We will have an insight. We will have the ability to see as never before. For He is light. And there will be nothing to obscure His person. We will see Him. And we will be like Him in that we will see as never before, perfectly. You remember the prophet Malachi? That's the Italian for Malachi. But looks like it's Malachi if you look at the way it's spelled, doesn't it, for those of you who like Italian? Malachi chapter 4, surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. That day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. The glory of God, the light. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. Then they will be ashes under the sole of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord God Almighty. The day of the Lord is coming. Back to Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun, the moon to shine. For the glory of God gives light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Do you remember when we started our study? In the first chapter, John said these words, I, John, your brother and companion in the sufferings and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the Isle of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus, verse 9, chapter 1. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, where we are now, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw the seven golden lampstands, you know, the churches. And among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. And his head and hair were like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like blazing fire. His feet like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing water. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. The rising of the Son of Righteousness. There's no need for anything but Him in order for us to see perfectly. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. A perfectly prepared place for the people of God. Pure. 1 Peter. Chapter 1, I'm reading verse 17. Since you call on the Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were set free, redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. A lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Hebrews chapter 9. I'm reading verse 11. When Christ came as a high priest of the good things that were to come, he went into a greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood. Having obtained eternal redemption, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling of those who were ceremoniously unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself unblemished to God, cleanse, purge, purify your conscience from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Back to Revelation chapter 21. Verse 27, nothing impure will enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. At any moment, the Lord will return in the air to catch us away that we might be with Him. When He returns to establish His kingdom and bring about that climactic end to the plan and program of Almighty God as it is framed in time and space, everything will be new. And there will be a people chosen who will have a perfectly magnificent, beautiful, brilliant place to be in His presence. It's coming down out of heaven, this new Jerusalem. It's 1,400 miles square. Nowhere in the scripture does it say it comes to the new earth, but simply is seen as a place where those who are pure, who belong to Him, have residence, have access day and night into the presence of God. For what purpose? To worship Him. These are a people precious to Him who have His name on them. And the angel showed me a river, the water of life, chapter 22, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Back to Revelation chapter 3. Verse 12, Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from God. And I will also write on him my new name. Come on over to Revelation chapter 19. A beautiful, perfectly prepared place, proportioned in such a way for the pure to enter into His presence, to worship Him, to serve Him, to have access into His presence. With absolute assurance that we belong there, because we have the name of the city, the New Jerusalem, and we have His name on our foreheads. Verse 11, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one but himself knows as far as the absolute fullness of its significance. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God, the defining expression of who God is. In the beginning was the Word. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of Almighty God. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name that is written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here's what the heavenly message to the earthly church at Philadelphia is all about. Opportunity. The open door. Do my bidding. Obedience. Obey my word. Honor my name. And ownership. Jesus said, I must go. I'm going to go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you to myself, for where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. So I know that I have a perfectly prepared dwelling place in heaven. I don't know how big or how small it is. I think obviously it's going to have plenty of room for me, and it's going to be my permanent address. But you know what? I'm also a resident of a city so brilliant, so perfectly prepared in the presence of Almighty God for His pure people, that I will and you will have access to day and night to be a part of worship and service. And so, I know this. That I have a name written on my head. The Word of God. I belong to the Word of God. I belong to the King of Kings. I belong to the Lord of Lords. And I also have a place that I belong. The New Jerusalem. What a glorious inheritance is ours. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you have done, what you're doing, and what you are yet to do, all because of who you are, and that you have by your grace permitted us to be apart forever. We thank you through Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.